the meaning of baptism can be found in the Old Testament sacrament of circumcision, the cutting off of the old self, sinful self, and the bringing in of a new self, and that's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and now signified and sealed in baptism. So let's turn to a summary of that teaching, Lord's Day 33. If you turn in the back of your songbooks to page 888. What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? Two things, the dying away of the old self and the rising to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? To be genuinely sorry for sin and more to hate it and run away from it. What is the rising to life of the new self? Wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a love and delight to live according to the will of God, by doing every kind of good work. But what are good works? Only those which are done out of true faith, conform to God's law, and are done for His glory, and not those based on our own opinion or human tradition. Let's turn in our Bibles to that teaching about the putting off of the old man, old self, and putting on of the new self. Ephesians 4. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. We'll read verses 17 through to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 4, page 1161. Page 1161. Verse 17. Speaking here to believers who have died to sin and become alive in Christ. The question is, are they living that way? Are we living that way? This death to sin that we have in Jesus and this new life in Christ. Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And verses 1 and 2 are transitional. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is God's word, and may he bless this word to our hearts and our lives and our households, congregation. We're beginning a study, congregation, on good works. That really is what the Christian life is about, a life of good works. That's why God saved us, Ephesians 2:10. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And those good works don't come from our thankfulness. Sometimes we've been taught that. And they don't come from our praise to God. And those good works don't come from our desire to witness to others. Those good works come from the Holy Spirit. That's their source, that's their power. And it's only by the Spirit's power that we're thankful and want to do good works. And that we want to praise God and witness to our neighbors. The Holy Spirit is their source. But today we want to look at the question, what do good works look like? If you would peel away the layers of good works, and there are many layers, what's in the center? What's in the middle of a truly good work? And the answer is repentance. If a work is truly good in the sight of God, it's a work of repentance. That's the center. Martin Luther wrote in the first of his 95 theses, "Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, in saying repent, intended that the whole of the Christian life be repentance." What is repentance? It's the Spirit's power by which we put our sins to death, what we call mortification. And the Spirit's power by whom we live the new life, vivification. That's the heart of what is truly a good work. Without repentance, good works are empty. Without that genuine conversion, daily repentance, turning away from sin, turning toward God in all good works, it's empty. It's missing the center. And that's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 4 and in many other passages the Bible teaches us. So we want to look at these two things side by side. That the Christian life is a life of walking the repentance road. And that involves putting off the old self, putting on the new self. We want to look at those two side by side. First, at the principle of the matter, the principle of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. That's found in verses 17 through 24 of Ephesians 4, the principle. And then the practice of it, verses 25 through 32. How does that work? Put off the old self and put on the new. To apply that death of the old self and the life of the new to our lives. What does that look like in practice? So first then, the principle. Repentance is an event in your life. It's when your life crashes spiritually before God as a sinner. And you finally see in some real measure how wicked you are in the sight of God and deserving of damnation. And how much damage you've done to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbors, to other people. And you hate that with all your heart. You're sorry for it. You hate it. And you run to the Lord Jesus Christ for refuge and you say, I want to live a new way, your way. That's genuine repentance as an event. When we first believe, true faith is accompanied with real, genuine repentance, but it doesn't stop there. That event at the beginning of our faith life continues as a road for the rest of our lives, where every day we're busy with this matter of turning away from our sin. Our grievances against God and offenses against one another. And turning toward God to serve Him according to His will. It's a road, not just an event, that you walk every day. And that's Paul's focus in Ephesians 4, 17 and following. When you first give up on yourself and give your life over to Christ, you part with sin, want nothing more to do with it, and cling to Christ and want to have everything to do with Him, that's a life that then continues every day to the end of the journey of salvation. When it's real, it doesn't stop. Oh, there's ebb and there's flow in it, no doubt. And in the Bible, that new life of repentance is what's signified and sealed in circumcision, which is now replaced by baptism. And that's the gift that's been promised in Christ Jesus to Leah and to Jameson. The death of the old self, the life of the new. You can't be born with a better promise, a better gift than that. And it's all found in Christ, in His cross and resurrection. But as Leah and Jameson grow up, they have to open that gift and by faith claim it for their own lives. Otherwise, Christ will never live in them. And they will never live a repentant life. It's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift has to be opened up not only by Leah and Jameson, but by all of us. You might still be living in hardness of heart. You've been promised the death of the old self in Christ, the life of the new, cutting off the sinful man, resurrection of the new man, and you might have never done anything with it, and you're still as hard as nails in your heart. And your mind still as wicked and set on yourself as ever. Today is the day of salvation. Come and claim what God has promised to you in Christ through the Spirit's power, signified and sealed to you in baptism, saying, it's yours, take it, use it. And that's what Paul is saying to the Ephesians in verse 17. I say this, I testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You're rescued from that. That futility of mind, which comes from their hardness of heart. Verse 18, and then verse 19, which leads to callousness of life. Futility of mind due to hardness of heart, resulting in callousness and sensuality of life. Living according to your senses, doing whatever pleases you. That's the way your life was before you knew Christ. But verse 20, that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, assuming that you believed is really what he's saying. And in believing, you put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and you have put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In Christ, you have a new identity. You are no longer the old self, driven by the passion to think and do evil. Because that self was crucified with Christ. You're now the new self in Christ. You have a new mind that knows God's will, a new heart that desires God's will, and a new way of life. You're headed in a new direction. You're on a new road, the repentance road. toward God, toward God, away from yourself, away from your sin. That's your new identity. Wear it, is what Paul is saying. Put it on. Put it off. You're no longer the old self. Put off the sins of the old self. You are the new self in Christ. Put him on. Wear this new life. That's the life of repentance. It's not wearing a chain with a cross. It's not praying a sinner's prayer at a prayer or a revival meeting. It's not eating only fish on Fridays. It's not a ritual. It's not a routine. It's a road. It's the pilgrim's pathway. It's the Christian life lived every day, rejecting the old self that has been crucified with Christ and putting on the new self which was raised on Easter Sunday morning in his resurrection. It's the Christian life lived every day of rejecting the old self that was crucified with Christ, rejecting the old self and accepting the new self that has been risen with Christ. Embracing that new you, living that out, putting that on every day. That new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. What a gift God has given us in Christ. The death of the old self, which is corrupted in deceitful desires, ruining our lives, misshaping us to look like sin. But instead, reforming us in the image of Christ so that we become like God again in true righteousness and holiness, the way God made us in the beginning. It's a beautiful gift. It really is the meaning of life. And repentance pursues this gift of looking not like sin, but like God. And the wonderful thing is, brothers and sisters, the source of this putting off the old self and putting on the new self is not found in you. Steve and Kate have discovered, and Jeff and Christy have discovered, that when they look to their own resources to put away sin and to put on Christ, things just get worse. But there is a resource that you have, brothers and sisters, and that Leah and Jameson also have, and that's Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And as often as we need strength to put sin to death in our lives, and that's not just every day, it's every hour and every minute. As often as we need strength, we can run to Jesus and ask for his cross power to nail that sin to the wall. Lord, I'm about ready to be angry in a sinful way and to react in a very wicked way. And I need your help right now to put that off, because you died. You died for that. That old self was crucified, nailed to you on the cross. And I don't have to do that. I don't have to react that way. And so often we just let it happen, and we don't run to Jesus. No, repentance is running to Jesus. Lord, I want to put on gentleness. I've become harsh. I want to put on patience because I've become impatient these days. But life is difficult. I guess I'll just have to run to the risen Christ. He's got that new life of patience for you. Don't just leave the matter alone and keep on going in your impatience. He's got new resources for you to grow. It's all in Christ. It's all in his crucifixion and resurrection. All the power of repentance, daily repentance we need to put off the old, the sins of the old self, and to put on the life of the new self in Christ and to become more like God. It's awesome. It's amazing. And you know what the saddest thing is, brothers and sisters? So many who call themselves Christians don't view their lives this way at all. Life is just a routine of eating, working, sleeping, paying the bills, losing patience when things don't go your way, and trying to have a little fun on the side. There, that's life. It'd be nice if I got to heaven at the end of all that. They call themselves Christians but aren't living a life of repentance, of fighting sin, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and growing. That's the life of repentance in principle. But then Paul, in the second part, talks about this taking off of the old self, putting off of the sins of the old self, putting on the life of the new self in practical terms, in the nitty-gritty details of telling the truth, controlling our anger, being honest in our work, kind in our speech, and forgiving. Let's go through the applications here in verses 25 and following. First application, put off falsehood, put on truth. Verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's the Christian life. You used to live and believe the lie. Lies about God, lies about salvation, lies about life and family. Don't go back to that. Don't let falsehood grab you and then spread that to others. Because those lies are a stab in the vitals of the body of Christ, writes John Stott in his commentary. Rather, let truth get hold of you and speak the truth to one another. That builds and strengthens fellowship in the body of Christ, for we're members of one another. Build one another up in the truth as it is in Jesus. That's the first application. Put off falsehood, put on truth. Second, verse 26 and 27. Be angry at sin, but don't let your anger become sinful. There's such a thing, brothers and sisters, as righteous anger, which imitates God the Father and God the Son. When commentator writes, if God hates sin, his people must hate it too. In Psalm 119, David says, hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. But congregation, be careful. Don't let the devil take control of your anger and turn something good into something evil. Like God, let us be slow to anger and ready to forgive. And may our anger come from the right source, not from injured pride, not from embarrassment, not from interrupted plans. Let it not be selfish. And don't let the sun go down on your anger, the scripture says there. Don't nurse it so that it stays, smolders, and sours into bitterness. That's like asking the devil, come in and control me, because a bitter spirit can't walk with God. Put on righteous anger. Put off sinful anger. Third application, put off stealing, verse 28. Put on hard work and generous giving. Many were then and still are today accustomed to pilfering off others, cheating for gain, hoping for the government or somebody else will take care of them, focused on themselves even if it means stealing from others. That's the old way of life, says Paul, but you've put off that old self and you've put on the new self, and now you must live that way. Work hard so you can support your family, and that you can give generously to those who are truly unable to work and are destitute and in need. Fourth application, verses 29 and 30. Don't use your mouth for evil, but for good. Put off corrupt speech, unwholesome talk. The word unwholesome refers to rotten. It will not help but hurt those who hear. As opposed to that good and gracious speech that fits the occasion and will benefit those who hear. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Put on wholesome speech, speech that is gracious, speech that is timely, fits the occasion. Proverbs 10, verse 32, the lips of the righteous knows what is appropriate. And Proverbs 12, verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Verse 29 or verse 30, corrupt talk that's not holy is therefore not led by the Spirit who is holy and not approved by Him. Don't grieve the Spirit of God in whom you're sealed for the day of redemption. Corrupt talk makes Him sad. Verse 27 says, don't make the devil glad. Verse 30, don't make the Spirit sad. Fifth, put away evil attitudes and feelings towards others. Put on instead those qualities which belong to God, the Father and the Son. Verses 31 and 32, and then you can go on to Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So often in the attitudes and feelings of our minds and hearts and emotions, we allow the ways of the old self to take over and the ways of the new self to wane. Paul says, let that all be put away, the bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander, put away, put off. Same language there again. Put it away. Behaviors like resentment toward people, passionate rage, quiet hostility, shouting matches, evil, slanderous talk. There's no place for that in the Christian community. But instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Connect the last verse of chapter 4 to the first verse of chapter 5, the first two verses. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Put on godlike, Christlike attitudes, feelings, qualities in your relationships with others. The three G's, pray for grace, gentleness, and generosity. Those are attributes of God. Let them rule your relationship with all people. What he carries on in chapter 5 with putting off and putting on in matters of sexual purity, matters of marriage, and then family, and then work relations. And brothers and sisters, this is the repentant life. It's the heart and soul of a life of good works. Without that struggle, that holy war, put away sin, the habits of the old self, the ways of the old self, and to put on the new self, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, become more like Him. Without that war, all your Christianity is external and superficial. You're missing the core, the heart of Christ crucified, the death of the old self in Him, Christ risen, the life of the new self in Him. That's missing. And I guarantee you, you're not enjoying God at all. He's just not at home in your life, and you're not at home with Him. You like some order, maybe. You like some customs. You like some human traditions. God is not in your life. That's why it's so important for us to know and understand the heart of a good work. The death of the old self. The rising to life of the new. Death of the old self. Heartfelt sorrow for sin. Hating it more and more. Fleeing from it. Life of the new self. Wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good He wants me to do. There. What a great description of what lives in a believer's heart. True repentance. And you might say today, I'm a long ways away from that. No, you're not. It's all in Christ. You simply need to give up on yourself. See how despicable you are in yourself. Run to Christ, and He's got a new you all ready to go. A new you all ready to go in the Spirit's power. You fall on your knees, come before Him, and ask for that new life. You'll leave this place a new man, a new woman in Christ. It's a great life. Not an easy life, but it's a great life because it's about becoming more and more like God. More and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and that's what a good work is. Not what our opinion says or human tradition says a good work is, but what God's word says a good work is. What's done out of true faith and conforms to God's law and is done for His glory. And just a special word for us as dads, that we take leadership in our homes and in the church in this kind of humble yet confident life. Humble that I'm a needy person and I need the cross every day. I'm going to show you the way to the cross. Confident that though I have so much further to go in the resurrection of Jesus, I can grow. And by God's grace, we're going to grow together. Dads, take the lead. Moms, walk alongside. May the Spirit empower Leah and Jameson to come to Christ for this new life and walk this road to glory. May empower each one of us to do the same. Amen.